Welcome to the Property Lovers Podcast. I'm your host, Dominique Grubisher. This podcast series is all about giving you a competitive edge in your property journey. We'll be discussing little known strategies, tools, and information to help you add value and create wealth through property. Now, obviously, we don't know you or your unique position, so this is not financial or investment advice. It is information of a general nature, and you should always seek professional advice as to your situation before you ever invest in anything. But if you want to play a bigger game in property and want to use property as your vehicle to create wealth and, more importantly, freedom, then you're in the right place. Let's do this. Let's get started. In this episode, we're going to deep dive into the gap or the jump from being a homeowner to a property investor. Let's start by defining what we mean by a property investor. Normally, people generically think in layman's terms, well, if I'm not a homeowner, if I have additional properties, like more than one property, then I'm a property investor, which is fair enough as well. But there's also a technical definition for tax purposes, and that's the distinction between a property investor and a property entrepreneur. So a property investor would be more passive. They don't do anything with the property necessarily to add value or to develop or subdivide. A property investor, in that sense, buys other properties, but they put tenants in them and they get cash flow or income from them. And they get tax benefits in the form of negative gearing, which we'll talk about in a moment. A property entrepreneur may buy more than one property over and above their family home or their principal place of residence, but with a view to perhaps flip those properties. In other words, to buy it, renovate it, add value, and then sell it, or to add value through a DA or some sort of council approval or subdivision and then sell it off. So the aim there is less passive buy and hold for rental income and more active or proactive because they're manufacturing or growing the capital growth themselves through their own sweat. So generically, when we're talking about property investment, the strategies can vary. You can be either very active in properties above and beyond your family home or principal place of residence, or you can be passive and buy and hold for the longer term. And the market does a lot of the heavy lifting for you through capital growth. Capital growth means that the value of the property goes up over time without you improving it in any way. So it's a bit of a difference between what they say time in the market. Time in the market means how long you've held it for. A property will go up in value over time. And timing the market. So timing is when you buy and when you sell. So in the market that was over the last 12 months or in 2021, people timed the market well for flipping or cash flow through property by buying in and then selling in what was a rising market. Right now, you could time the market well. And in terms of timing the market, it's great to develop into a down market. In other words, buying now where sellers are quite fearful and it's a buyer's market and prices are dropping, to buy low now and then to spend the 12 months or so that it takes to get plans through council waiting for the market to come back so that when you go to sell, the market is back in a rising cycle or peaking. So either way, whether you're passive or active, a property investor is someone who's buying for a commercial purpose as opposed to their nest, the place they love that's close to schools, that they want to raise a family and that they're quite emotional about. They can see themselves entertaining friends, having a barbecue out the back. They're buying the dream or they're buying the convenience for their life and their lifestyle. That's your principal place of residence or your home, the place where you live. Whereas property investment is a different beast. With property investment, your emotions shouldn't, and I say shouldn't because we're all creatures of an emotion, but as far as possible, we should, as property investors, take the emotion out of it and only look at the commercial reality. I'll be the first to say I find that really hard to do. I can't buy somewhere that I wouldn't like to live myself. So I will come in and say, I can't buy this because it's too close to the train line. I can't imagine living here. It's too tiny. And that's not a bad thing either, because if I don't like it or I see flaws in it, then probably other people will too when I go to rent it out as an investor or when I go to sell it. So you can use a little bit of your emotion. So, how do you bridge the gap between home ownership and subsequent, what we're going to call investment properties? The answer is to unlock the equity in your home if you can. In other words, if your home has gone up in value, if you've got some wealth in your home, let's say that you've got a mortgage of $500,000, but you know your home is worth $850,000. A bank will usually lend you 80%, sometimes 90% of the valuation. So what you can do is you can pull out money from your family home, escalate or increase the debt on your family home mortgage, and that can be your deposit on a second or an investment property. In other words, you're using your equity in property like an ATM. You're pulling money out of that transaction in order to have a deposit for another purchase of a property. And the bank will usually lend you 80% or maybe even 90% of the purchase price of the new property. On top of that, as a property investor, even if you're not going to manufacture capital growth and sell it yourself, you are going to get tax benefits. So whilst your family home isn't a good investment because nothing's tax deductible on the place you live in, with other properties, almost everything's tax deductible. In other words, the interest component, if you're paying a mortgage on an investment property, as well as expenses and overheads and things to do with that, like paying an agent to manage the property for you. It's what they call good debt because it has tax benefits that go with it. Obviously, speak to an accountant about your particular property and what is a depreciation benefit. For example, there are some things that I can't write off immediately. If I spend $10,000 on a kitchen, it's not going to be $10,000 as a tax write-off, but over time I can claim that the value of that asset, the kitchen, has decreased, and so that I'm able to claim that over time. So a lot of benefits for investing in properties over and above your family home. I personally believe property, the bricks and mortar, is the safest investment, but also one that you have a lot of control over. Buying shares in companies, you're depending on that company, on the board, on the CEO, on their decisions, on their success. You have no input to move the needle in relation to those assets. Whereas with a property, especially an investment property, you're in total control. You can rent it as is, you can take cash flow from a tenant, you get tax benefits, or if you want to sell it, you can improve it. You control your end sale price, and there's so much data out there now in this day and age to give you a feel for what properties are worth, what you can spend on them, and what you're going to get back as your return on investment. So, a great strategy, and one that you transition to from just one property, your family home, over time. And having said that, people don't always buy their family home first. I know when I started out, I just started buying investment apartments. I still lived at home. So if you have that benefit, you don't have to pay for your own cost of living, but you can make all your money go out and work for you and get an income from that as well. And the great news today is that rents are sky high and there's a shortage of properties. So could be the right time to make the jump from homeowner to property investor.
We are passionate here at the DG Institute about helping people launch and progress along their property journey. And we have some free resources to really help you do that. First of all, we have our Real Estate Rescue Introductory Program, which is all about getting you up and running when it comes to buying under-market distressed properties from really motivated sellers. You can get access to that program for free right now by going to www.dginstitute.com.au/freecourse1. That's www.dginstitute.com.au/freecourse and then the number one. That's it for today, but really looking forward to giving you more tools, more strategies, more support and a competitive advantage when it comes to property in our next episode.